There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live back at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This is your host Igor, and as always with me is my co-host Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi, Niksha.
Had a good week, Niksha?
Good enough. I did some shopping, and I did some shopping.
Wow. Spending all the money is like a baller.
Surprisingly, not all of them.
Gee, but you're gonna spend all the money tomorrow at the pre-release, I guess.
I hope not.
But,
you
the possibility
never
is there. Had some commanders of the week?
Let me think about that. So we'll go with you first. Did you have a commander of the week?
I mean, we actually managed to play a couple of games at LGS the other day. I actually managed to play a game with you, or against you, I guess is the better term.
Oh yeah, I was playing with Scarecrows.
And you played with Joyra. That was the more interesting one to me, because you managed to resolve a degree of bloody annihilation.
Hardcasted, not cycled.
You hardcasted it, and Tess was immediately, when she saw the effect, oh, go fuck yourself, I'm gonna scoop out of this game. But me, being a masochist that I am, I was like, okay, let's play on, and I actually managed to somehow win that game.
And you managed to win even though I had a Tezzeret out, but it turns out that Tezzeret doesn't really do that much if you don't have a support.
Yeah.
And since I'm playing Scarecrows, support is kind of...
And I managed to Karmagide Rebel Arc?
I forgot. I wasn't playing Scarecrows when that happened, because Tezzeret isn't in my Scarecrows anymore. It's in Joyra, and there are no artifacts to advance the board state in Joyra.
You had a couple of Mana Rocks.
I don't count that as advancing anything.
I mean, after everybody's hands and graveyards and the field has been vanished, it kind of is advancing the board state, because me getting like two or three lands managed to get me through.
And since my win conditions all cost 8 plus mana, it was kind of harder for me.
Yeah, I managed to get a couple of good things and win the game, and I was like, well, how did I do this?
Oh, I have a commander of the week, so it's I'm going to go with Reaper King. It's been quite some time since I played Reaper King. And I had a couple of good games, I had a couple of bad games, you know, the usual. One game, I played Reaper King on turn 4, and on turn 5, he got equipped with the helm that makes copies. And you know, when that resolves, and you get your first Reaper King copy, everything goes to, well, let's just say everything went to the graveyard.
Yeah, sounds a bit nasty. Luckily, it didn't happen to me.
Yeah. And Tess made extra sure not to allow it to happen to her.
Yeah, she doesn't like her things being blown up.
And she doesn't like Scarecrows. Or me, for that fact.
Who does like Scarecrows? Besides you? I mean, yeah, but you're the person who puts the Helm of the Host on the set Scarecrow.
I mean, it seems like a natural fit in the deck.
It is, and I actually respect it, but I'm going to do all I can to actually stop you from doing it.
Just you wait till I get fed up with Sisei and I decide to move all the competitive pieces from her to Reaper King.
I mean, keep Sisei, because she's an actually really, really good deck. You managed to screw us one or two games just by tutoring Elishnorn and killing all the important things.
Yeah, Elishnorn is incredibly good.
Kind of a good card, you might say.
Yeah. No wonder it's played in... Is it played in Legacy?
Yes, it's a reanimator sideboard card.
For all those pesky tribal decks.
It's more of a when people get Monastery Mentor.
And wow, a 7 mana card that counters a 3 mana card. Nice.
It's actually 1 mana.
Yeah, it's actually a 1 mana card.
Lose 7 life, but you know.
Yep.
Kind of a good card. But yeah, those have been our commanders of the week. Do we have some actual topics to go through?
Well, we were thinking about trying to make a deck tech for Feather, but that will have to wait because we thought of a more fun subject.
I mean, fun is subjective.
I mean, my part of the subject is fun. So we decided to explore some symmetric effects and how to break them, or how to have more fun with your symmetric part of the effect.
Yeah, like I said, fun is a bit subjective.
I mean, when you hear the word symmetric effects, you immediately think stacks. Like when I say braids, you think of Braids Cabal Minion, and I think of Braids Conjurer Adept. They're both symmetric effects. Only one is filthy stacks, while the other one is fun.
I mean, you're right. The Black Braids is fun. We should really unban her.
And ban Braids.
The blue one? Yeah, sure.
Just ban her so people don't play her.
No, they should really just make one random ban of just some random card. Uncommon from Homelands.
Like, should that be actually a topic? Like, should incredibly bad cards be banned so that don't actually make the mistake of playing them?
Oh no, let them suffer in their own mistakes. As we'll see to today's topic, I'm all for people suffering.
That's because it's fun.
I mean, it is. Even while I'm the one who suffers. Oh well. So,
well, if it's
what
for the
kind
greater
of,
good, so be it.
That's fucking commie propaganda. Do not use that. So, what kind of effects did you have in mind?
So, well, the first card I thought of was, and you probably thought of him too, was Sire of Insanity.
Oh, I love that guy.
But is there actually a way to break Sire of Insanity?
Kinda. If we're gonna use the Boar God, that's an actual way to break Sire of Insanity. Or just, you know, Dark Ritual and Tomb Reanimate him on turn 1. That's way to actually really break Sire of Insanity. Third option would be using things like Megrim and stuff like that.
Actually, let me just quickly check something. What does the card from Ravnica, Bottle Cloister?
Bottle Cloister. It triggers at the beginning of opponent's upkeep.
Oh, well, damn. Well, if you have a way to draw many cards during other people's turns, then...
No. On each end step, everybody discards.
Yeah, but if you draw before Bottle Cloister triggers,
okay,
then you have those cards at the start of your turn.
Yeah, but you need to have the draw engine on board.
Memory jar?
Sure.
Okay, well, I mean, there is no extremely profitable way of breaking Sire of Insanity except for the, you know, turn one playing Sire of Insanity, then you have a beat stick while other people don't have anything.
I mean, just playing him is kind of broken. If he sticks for like just one rotation, you're fine.
Yeah, he's one of those symmetric effects that you just play around with. Like, if you're using Alesha, then that's that's a way to break him, because you still have access to your cards from your graveyard, while other people's, well, they don't, unless they're playing Karador. And then Sire of Insanity kinda, you know, becomes favorable for them.
You don't cast Sire of Insanity if you have a bloody Karador player out.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
You're just like, I'm not gone. But, like, we'll see with most of these other things, if this person is playing a symmetrical effect, there is a reason why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. So, will we go to, like, some categories of symmetric effects, or are we gonna go, like, just...
I mean, I have put like 5 categories of cards. First of all, symmetrical effects that screw up mana. Then, you know, all kinds of Trinispheres and things like that. Things that screw up library searches. Things that screw up casting or, you know, drawing cards. And then just general symmetrical effects.
So, I like the one where you talk about screwing with mana. That seems fun. Again. Fun.
So, that's the biggest category I have, surprise, surprise. So, first thing that came to my mind wasn't even a Blood Moon or something like that. It was the thing you used to play, Mana Maze.
Yeah.
Niksha, what does Mana Maze do? Because you don't see it often at EDH tables.
It makes people punch you, that's what it does. So it's for one and a blue enchantment that says that you can't play spells that are share a color with a spell previously cast that turn.
You used to play it in Scarecrows, right?
Yeah, because just the fact that I can flash in Reaper King during somebody's upkeep, making them unable to play non-colorless spells, seemed fun. Also, sheesh. You know, you play Reaper King and they can't do anything about that because you cast him, so they can't count. They can no longer counter him.
Plus, if somebody's playing a monocolor deck, guess what happens?
Well, they're gonna need a lot of mana rocks to alleviate the punishment.
Yeah. Mana Maze was a fun card. Why aren't you playing that in?
Because I traded it off.
Aww.
Wait. And, like, that's a good example. So, it's a symmetric effect that can screw you over just as likely as it can screw other people, but you can effectively play around it by playing, well, mostly colorless cards.
Like I said a minute ago, if somebody's playing a symmetrical effect, there's a read.
And that's one part of Magic I really sometimes enjoy and sometimes despise, is the whole double-edgy sword cards and how to abuse them. Like, for instance...
Yeah?
I used to play the Dark Dweller Demon, but I cannot remember how I abused him. But I did find a way to somewhat successfully use him, but it wasn't consistent enough to be actually good.
What's the demon?
I think it's Dark Dweller, but it's 2 black for a 5/4 with Undying, and when it enters the battlefield, if you didn't cast him, he goes to your opponent.
Oh yeah, that guy, I remember him from Everson Restored pre-release.
Yep. I mean, it was a 2 black for a 5/4, right?
Yep, 2 black, 5/4.
So that's really good, right?
Yeah, but the downside is...
Unless you put a +1/+1 counter in him, then he doesn't have a downside anymore.
Yep, that's a really good way to go about it. Something like... what's the sword that the vampires use?
The Blade of the Blood Chief.
Yes, that.
For instance. So if you have any way of putting counters on stuff, then that's a double-edged effect that you can actually abuse. But then again, it's a double-edged effect, not really a symmetric effect. So that's maybe a topic for another time. Let's go back to our mana-hating business.
Also, there was things like Energy Flux or Kataki War's Wage. Mm-hmm. And I was doing research, I can't believe that Energy Flux is just like a euro or two. Like, what the hell? I need to get myself like a couple of those because that effect is really good.
Yeah, but it specifically just hates on artifacts.
Yeah, and what is most of our meta here?
Oh, artifacts.
People doing stupid things with mana rocks. After that, you have things like Frozen Aether, Kismet, or Root Maze.
Yeah, some things that don't really completely screw you over, just, you know, annoyances.
Mm-hmm. You had a really good combo, if I remember correctly, of Winter Orb and what was it, Tectonic Instability?
So, yeah, Tectonic Instability, an enchantment that says that whenever a land enters the battlefield under any player's control, that player taps all lands he controls. So, you know, when you're like, you can untap one land, you can play another land, and you have 2 mana, which is kind of like, okay, cheating out Winter Orb, not really, okay. Well, Tectonic Instability makes sure that doesn't happen. Just, you know, stop it. No. There's no escaping Winter.
Yeah, I really need to get myself Tectonic Instabilities.
It's also good with Hokori.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you say Winter Orb, you can basically say Hokori.
Mm-hmm. Well,
also,
not really, because Hokori skips the untap completely, and if you have extra upkeeps or extra copies, you get more lands untapped.
Yeah, you can break it with that.
Yeah, you actually can break it with like that, or you know, you can break Winter Orb by tapping it on your turn and then untapping it with Voltaic Key.
Yeah, you can do things like that.
I'm still a big advocate of using the Icy Manipulator in like more competitive environments.
Can't you use also the what's that you tap two artifacts to untap an artifact?
Yeah, I guess you can use that too. Or, you know, use that, what's it called? Unwinding clock.
Oh, yes.
So you can tap all your problematic artifacts at the end of somebody's turn, but at the end of your turn, they're all online. So yeah, there's a fun way to exploit symmetric mm-hmm. effects.
There was also a thing like overburden. You know mm-hmm. what it does?
Yeah, whenever a creature enters, or whenever a land.
No, whenever a creature enters the battlefield, that creature control returns land they control to their hand. Non-token. However, if you don't play, you know, creatures...
It's completely fine.
Marco used to play it in his stupid Kefna deck.
I also remember there's this one artifact or enchantment that says whenever you tap a land for mana, return that land to your hand.
Or Storm Cauldron, but you get an extra land drop, I think.
Yeah. And if your commander is Azusa...
Oh, God.
It's no longer a drawback, it's... You know, you're actually getting extra mana with that.
Sheesh.
I remember that years ago. We had an Azusa player, so...
Show us an adult where Azusa touched you.
It'd be much easier if he didn't.
Oh, that sounds kinky. There was also things like, you know, Price of Glory.
Price of Glory, but that's not symmetric.
Isn't it whenever anybody?
I think it's whenever an enemy.
I think it's symmetric. Apparently, it's also a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Whenever a player taps a land for mana, if it's not that player, then destroy that land.
Okay.
You just play, you know, you just tap all the lands you can. You also play our friend Stone Breaker Shaman.
Yeah, just make them tap those lands.
Look, you're gonna tap this one way or another. And if you really want to counter my spell, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Another fun symmetrical thing was Zozu and Uncle Mishra.
Zozu and Uncle?
Ankh of Mishra.
Ankh of Mishra, yeah.
I want an Uncle Mishra card, though.
Uncle. Just like Uncle Istvan.
Yeah, that guy. Non-legendary.
Well, you see, that's your way of interpreting symmetrical effects when we're talking about mana. Mm-hmm. While, if you ask me... I would go the route of mana doublers, not mana disablers.
What? What is this mana doubling you speak of?
So you have cards like Dictate of Karametra and Heartbeat of Spring. And they're symmetric effects. When people tap lands for mana, they give more mana.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to abuse these things is either flash them in, so you get the mana first, or, you know, you use that mana to play... bigger stuff than your opponent. And I'm always for playing bigger stuff.
We know.
So if my opponent has double mana but doesn't really abuse it in the way he should, all better for me. I'm going to abuse it in every possible way. And Dictate of Karametra is a better one here because it has flash by itself.
Yep.
But it's also 5 mana, so it's, you know, kind of mana heavy. But then again, your plan is to double your mana and abuse it, so really shouldn't be a problem. So, in this case, abusing double mana is just play bigger stuff. Just make sure that your opponent doesn't abuse it before you. So, either by, you know, discarding their hand, or just knowing that they're not playing big stuff. Or, you know... You can bait them into playing more, like, dump their entire hand, and then it's your turn, and like, okay, I clear the board.
Or Insurrection.
Or Insurrection, yeah. That's
since you have doubled the mana.
Mm-hmm. And they just wasted their turns dumping everything into play. That's a creative way of abusing symmetric effects. That's kind of fun, you know, without making people miserable.
Yeah, but it can backfire so much.
It can, and that's... For some people, that's the beauty of it.
For you.
For me.
Also, we forgot to mention the most balanced thing of them all. Balance.
I mean, the name of the card itself says it's perfectly balanced.
You know what I want them to do? To make a card that is exactly this effect, has almost the same name, but balance is in quotation marks. I play balance.
It's balanced.
I mean, 2 mana, discard everybody's hands, make them sack all their creatures and lands, it's fair if you ask me.
So, the general rule of thumb, the more fair a symmetric effect seems to be, the more unfair it actually is.
Of course, you need to balance it out with, you know, the actual mana cost, what it does.
Yeah, I mean, if balance actually costs, like, 7 mana...
Honestly, even 4 is already... 4 would be really competitive, but not that broken.
Mm-hmm.
At 5, I think it's actually acceptable. Maybe, I mean, Cataclysm, 4.
Cataclysm isn't really that fair now, is it?
No, Cataclysm is strong. It's not the most broken thing ever.
Yeah, but played at the right point, it's...
I mean, most cards played at the right point can win the game.
You mean most playing symmetric cards?
Playing balance is actually much more difficult to find the proper point than a Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
Because balance, you can cast the people be like, oh, in response to that, like, I'll say a couple of things, and you're like, oh. Or what happened to me at Cube Draft when I played balance for the first time. I forgot I actually had more cards in hand and creatures than my opponent. I was like, well, this is gonna suck. Guess what? It sucked.
I bet.
Any more things you wanna add?
Well, talking about screwing up mana, here's one more. That is, well, let's say fairer. Ember Swallower.
Oh my god, it's the guy from Born of the Gods or something like that,
yep.
Right?
So
what does it do?
So it's a 4 mana 4/5, and for 7 mana, it has Monstrous 3. And when it becomes Monstrous, destroy all lands. Or something like that. I think it's either all or 4 lands. Something along those lines.
I'll check it out.
3 lands. You sack 3 lands.
Yeah, but that costs so much, man.
It's almost like Wildfire, except...
Yeah, I was gonna say, can't you just play Wildfire?
I mean, you could, but, you know, with Ember Swallower, you have a 7-8 out.
Yeah. You know what's a really fun thing to do, but awfully specific?
What?
Playing Choke or Boil in your deck.
Let me say what's awfully specific. Let's say you're playing, for mana purposes, let's say you're playing Damia.
Okay.
Let's say you play Choke.
Okay.
You're not heavy on blue, or you have non-basic lands that aren't islands that produce blue. So you can afford to play Choke. But what if you do this? What if you play Urborg, Choke, and then you play Mindbend or whatever effect that changes one basic land type to another, and say that Urborg turns everything into islands instead of swamps?
You're going nuclear, I like that.
That, see, that's a symmetric effect, right?
That is
except,
symmetric.
Except, you know, since you have green, you're playing Seedborn Mute. So, you know, everybody hates you and wants to punch you.
That's good. Just the way Mark Rosewater designed to be.
Just the way Garfield intended it.
Also, something that was designed to be, as you mentioned, balanced, but turned out not to be, was things like Smokestacks or Tanglewire.
I don't think Tanglewire was ever supposed to be balanced.
I mean, it was, but the thing that screwed it up was you could actually, and you still can, put the triggers as you wish. Because turns out, when you need to tap only 2 things while everybody else tapped 3 things, is hella strong.
Yeah, especially the fact that it can tap itself.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that Sun Titan can get it back is hilarious. Because I've done it before and made people quite unhappy. Want to talk about spheres and things?
Well, spheres are kind of covered with mana, aren't they?
Partly, but you have things like Turnosphere, which is not, you know, destroying lands, just changing the rules a bit. And Turnosphere is kind of more balanced because it screws up, you know, super competitive decks. Things like Tessa's Dinosaurs just do not care about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she cares if, you know, she can cast her mana dogs.
So yeah, turn 1 Turnosphere is kind of bad. For, like, anyone.
I mean, yep. I mean, I've seen some super casual decks that you're like, I wasn't planning to cast anything until turn 5 anyway, so screw you.
And also, let's not forget the fact that Trinisphere doesn't work while it's tapped.
Yes.
Remember
you
that.
You can cheat that out. I personally have never actually tapped my Trinisphere, which is funny enough, but still.
It can happen.
Something that is actually kind of fine is the Torpor Orb or, you know, Hushroom Griff and things like that.
Yeah, again, symmetric effects that screw over only people that rely heavily on such effects. And
yeah,
you break them by, you know, not playing such cards.
Yep. In my LS, the only thing that it would stop would be, you know, actual combos. But I can still, you know, beat you without any combos. Also, new Dovin Ban is effect like that.
He's just a stack. He's not symmetric, like, not even close.
No, but he's, as I mentioned, a Dampening Matrix is...
Damping Matrix? What does that do?
It stops activated abilities of creatures or artifacts, except for the mana ones. That's, you know, if you don't want to be total asshat to your friends. Look, your dogs can work, I guess.
Okay. I would also, when we're talking about mana affecting symmetric effects, I'm going to go with some that are, well, yeah, I can say they're mana affecting ones. So let's go with Wild Evocation and Omen Machine.
Oh God.
So, well, Wild Evocation and Omen Machine make every player play a random spell each turn. You can break these symmetric effects by playing cards such as Arcane Laboratory or Rule of Law.
Oh yes.
Which makes people, that includes you, when people cast a random spell, that's it. So they have one spell per turn, but it's random. And that's kind of a fun way to break symmetric effects without, you know, playing Knowledge Pool and then Teferi, and then nobody has fun ever, except for you, of course, because why would people have fun?
I mean, fun is a zero-sum game, and you need to have the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this was to be mentioned, is Possibility Storm and Rule Law.
Yeah, makes people not be able to play cards.
They can still play their commanders. That this is to be mentioned.
Even with Knowledge Pool Teferi, they can play their commanders.
Yeah.
So.
that is actually important when posed to you is, you know, something like Prosh or Ruriktar.
Mm-hmm.
They can still cast those bastards.
They can still win through that.
Mm-hmm. Tess actually managed to win plenty of time.
Well, she can't beat Arcane Laboratory with Food Chain.
The thing about Prosh, it's still a 5-5 for 6 mana.
Still a 5-5 that smacks you and can sacrifice all those things around it to smack you for a lot.
Yeah, that's why it actually works so much in our meta where there is, you know, turn 2 possibly winning decks. She'll just beat your face. And your ad nauseum is much worse when she chunked you for like 5 or 10 or 15.
I can't really say fun symmetric effect, but again, not diabolically evil symmetric effect is Arcane Melee. Because, you know, everybody has instant and sorcery spells, and everyone's cost 2 less.
For a bonus fun, play it on when you have 4 blue players on the table.
Yeah.
You wanted to have a not long game? Well, here you go.
Yeah, you play Arcane Melee and... that's it, the fun starts.
Again, funnily enough, the more competitive you have the decks, the less it does. Oh, my mana drain costs the same, I guess.
So, again, it's kind of that symmetric effect that you can break by playing a spell-slinging storm-like deck. Doesn't even have to be Storm, you just have to have a fuel to keep your hand filled, and you cast your spells.
Paying 4 mana for Mind's Desire doesn't sound bad, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Paying black for Tendrils of Agony is also kind of nice.
Yep.
Holy
Especially
crap.
When you follow it up with, you know, paying even less for other cantrips.
Sheesh. Although you shouldn't be playing cantrips if the thing that causes you to actually use them well is, you know, Arcane Melee.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk about Screaming Tutors?
Sure, because tutors are horrible for the game anyways.
So, we have things like Cat Jesus, aka Leonin Arbiter, the best boy. Mindlock Orb, Aeon Mind Sensor, okay, Mind Sensor is not symmetrical, I apologize. But Stranglehold...
is not symmetrical.
Oh yeah, sorry, I wrote Madeline, or the Morn Song, but next to Cat Jesus, I remember a couple of other cards.
You see, with Madeline... that's a very interesting effect, because she says players can't draw cards, and instead of that, they can tutor a card at their upkeep. And funnily enough, if you're playing like black and white, and you have a Leonin Arbiter out, and they're like, okay, I pay 2, so I can tutor, and then suddenly you blink your Leonin Arbiter. Now they have to pay another two. Are they really going to pay another two and be able to cast that spell? Unlikely.
Unlikely they'll be able to cast it, but I think they'll pay just, you know, so they could get a thing. And if they cannot, if you play Mindlock Orb in, like, blue-black, guess what? Everybody just loses 3 life. And that's it.
That's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, here's an interesting effect. I have to see if this works, actually.
What's the effect?
Azami's familiar. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow Azami's familiar will do what?
So tomorrow Azami's familiar says that if you would draw a card, look at the top 3 cards of your library instead. So both are replacement effects. Actually, they're not replacement effects. Okay, I apologize. This doesn't actually work. If Maralyn said if a player would draw a card, he or she draws no cards instead, then you can actually use tomorrow to bypass that effect.
Huh.
I think there are cards that say that if a player would draw a card, they draw 0 cards instead. So those kind of symmetric effects can be bypassed with tomorrow. Or, you know, you can play cards that say at the start of your upkeep, you look at the top X cards or something and, you know, put a card from among them into your hand.
I mean, the way to go through Madeline could also be you playing Future Sight and or Bolas.
That's also a very good way to bypass that symmetric effect.
And for different colors, things like Outpost Siege and stuff like that.
And you know, with Marlin, Marlin is actually a pretty good clock.
Mm-hmm.
3 life per turn, even when you're playing at 40 life, it adds up.
It does.
It actually adds up together with all those, with fetching effects, with other life-paying effects, with mana crypts, if people have them. You know, it adds up quite quickly.
Next group would be, you know, things that screw up casting spells and drawing cards, like Bottomless Pit or Oppression. That's symmetrical.
Oppression isn't symmetrical.
It is.
Well, I mean, you tap your stuff to tap their stuff.
No, that's opposition.
Oh, okay.
Oppression is whenever a player casts a spell, they discard a card.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bottomless Pit at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player discards a card at random.
Mm-hmm. Then there's also that vapors from Mirrodin.
Oh yeah, Necrogen Mists.
Necrogen Mists, yeah.
There's also, we mentioned already, Rule of Law effects.
Mm-hmm.
Thing I found to be super useful is Uba Mask.
Yeah, Uba Mask is actually a really cool card.
I finally found out who's the person in our playgroup that actually suffers the most from the Uba Mask. Whenever Philip plays his Tatiova deck.
Yeah.
Guess what? His deck is it's a really slower control deck. And he gains a lot of life, he draws a lot of cards, and there's a lot of reaction spells. But when he has to exile all those counter spells and can't access them anymore...
Well, but how do you abuse Uba Mask? Instead of just, you know, hating players with it, how do you abuse it?
You can play things like Miss Hollow Griffin or the Eldrazi. Or Squee.
Well, yeah, those are kind of corner cases.
Also, you can play things like the Rift Sweeper / mm-hmm. Pull from Eternity. You are already prepared for things being exiled. And there is also that 5-mana artifact that basically doomsdays, but you exchange everything in your library for everything in your exile.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and also there's, you know, the new Karn that can then tutor cards.
Oh,
he can
God,
actually
yes.
tutor cards at that point.
That's really good, yes. That Spirit of the Labyrinth is one.
Again, I would classify Spirit of the Labyrinth as more of a hate card than a symmetric. I mean, it's a symmetric effect, but it's still purely hate.
You bypass it by, you know, drawing one card per turn. Also known as not being a blue deck. Aetherstone Canonist is also.
You know how you also bypass. Actually, you don't bypass. You empower your Uba Mask.
How?
Teferi's Puzzle Box.
Oh god. Also wheel effects.
Wheel effects are also fun. Especially when, you know, when you break them by playing the new Narset.
Oh, God.
Or Possessed Portal.
I mean, just playing Smothering Tide with the wheel effect was already fun, but this is a bit...
Or Smothering Tide.
I need more Smothering Tides, by the way. I discovered that's a pretty good card.
Or, you know, Marilyn of the Mournsong.
Yep.
I mean, then you're not breaking it because you're not drawing any cards, but, you know, Notion Thief and Alms Collector. Alms Collector actually...
Alms Collector is actually... It actually is... It's symmetrical.
Yeah. I mean, it's symmetrical, but you can't break it. Not fun.
It is fun because you stop the broken thing from happening. That makes, you know, everybody else have much more fun.
That is true. Okay, so... I mean, that's basically what you do with wheel effects. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that tomorrow is really fun. When you have to draw 7 cards.
Oh,
and then
God.
For all of those cards, you have to look at... For each card, you look at the top 3 cards and put one of those cards into your hand and the rest at the bottom. And like 7 more... And then like 6 more times. X more times. And then people are like, come on.
Sheesh.
It's like... It gets really slow.
So guys, this is gonna take a while. Give me a minute.
But then again, one of my strategies when I was playing Gave was using Jar of Eyeballs and getting to like 90 counters and then like activating it. Okay, people, now let me stack my library the way I want it.
Basically.
And, you know, my hope was that people just concede at that point because... You know, they're not going to wait for me, you know, for 10 minutes while I stack the deck. But that doesn't really work, you know. When
boredom
some...
is the win condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of boredom, there's another way to make people finish the game faster is by playing cards that actually hurt them. Playing cards that actually hurt you. Let's say Rurikthar or...
Oh, God, I love my Rurikthar.
Or Eidolon of Great Revels.
Uh-huh. Or Parastatic Pillar in the same vein.
Or Zozu the Punisher.
Yep.
So you start punishing people, and people find ways to end the game quicker. And you can break those effects by, you know, when you're playing Rurikthar, you're playing only creatures. That's a way to break it. When you're playing Eidolon of Great Revels, you play, well, expensive cards.
The way the Eidolon of Revels is usually played is you play cheap spells, you just kill them faster than they kill you.
Yeah, I know. That happens in Modern Burn because, you know, Modern Burn
and Legacy, like, and Vintage.
Well, like, they die to their own Eidolon of Great Revels, but you die faster.
Mm-hmm. Havoc Festival is one that's exactly this type. Guess what? We're all gonna die.
And Zozu the Punisher can be, you know, okay, it's inevitable that you're taking damage, but you can make people tutor lands.
Yamaya Dryad is the name, right?
Mm-hmm.
You switch for a forest, here, get it.
And you just need to find a way to, you know, stop your opponent from actually abusing the extra mana they're getting.
Tectonic Instability?
With Winter Orb?
Yep.
Okay. I like this.
In a similar vein, Gravedigger's Cage and Silent Gravestone, and Rest in Peace. Those are actually much needed symmetrical effects. Also Ground Seal, forgot about that one.
But they're also, you know, hate cards.
I mean, how many people like to play with their graveyards in Commander?
Everyone?
Yep. And for people to have the most amount of fun, you need to stop them.
Even if it means sacrificing your own fun.
Yeah, no, you just don't play with your graveyard, so you weren't gonna have fun with that anyway. Which means you have more fun to give to people.
I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. What's also... We mentioned Stoic Shrinker Shaman. Garruk Teague. That's not a fun card.
Let's... you know what? Let's go to our... let's go to the camp where there's a clear distinction between our styles of... You know, symmetric effects. And that's braids and braids.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your braids?
What do you mean?
So, what does your braids do? That's symmetric.
I mean, everybody sacrifices an artifact, enchantment, artifact, creature, or land at the beginning of their upkeep. That's symmetrical.
Well, my braid says that at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player puts a permanent from their hand into play.
Isn't that lovely?
Well, while you have your stacking effect, stacking symmetrical effect that can be abused, because, you know, it the whole point of it is to be abused, my idea is to make people, you know, you can have your fun, but I'm going to have more fun. The only problem is that mine is kind of, you know, ruined by removal spells.
Womp womp.
Like, if I would play Braid's Conjurer Adept in a blue Tron, but, you know, Fatal Push is a card, Assassin's Trophy is a card, removals are a card.
Yep.
So they're going to get their good time while I'm going to get my bad time for playing.
I think your Braids has a firm home in Commander.
Yeah, where such removals aren't as common.
Sadly, Modern is not a place for your dear friend Braids.
One of these. Unless the way to break Braids, my Braids, the fun Braids, the Conjurer Adept, is to play, well, the Dalkan Orrery.
Oh god. The most broken thing in Commander?
Well, obviously, because it lets you break Braids. And it also lets you break symmetric effects such as, you know, the ones that draw cards at the start of players' upkeeps.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point is to get the effect before your opponents. Or, you know, if you're playing one-on-one, then you can use, like, Rune to exile her and then get her at the end of your opponent's step, end step. Because that doesn't work in free-for-all, not really.
Womp.
But yeah, looking at other, let's say, fun symmetric effects to break, I kind of ran out.
We mentioned the Magus. Angel of Jubilation is a symmetrical effect.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, it is.
I mean, but a more fun symmetric effect than Angel of Jubilation is like Armageddon.
I didn't think I was gonna hear that sentence coming from you.
Because Angel of Jubilation is more of a hate card, I just see her more as a hate card than a symmetric effect card. A symmetric effect card to break. Like, Armageddon can be broken. You know, you can play Avacyn, and then you use Armageddon, and you break the symmetry.
Or just play Mana Rocks.
Or play a bunch of Mana Rocks, Mana Dorks, or play Armageddon in response Boros Charm.
I play Armageddon, Test plays Boros Charm. That's also one way of breaking it. Also breaking my will. I still haven't recovered from that one, and that happened like a year ago. Sheesh.
The same goes for any Wrath effect.
Mm-hmm.
Just play Avacyn. That's it.
Easy. Just play with Dalkan Orrery / that land from War of the Spark that enables you to have flash.
Emergent Zone, yeah. I mean, play Emergent Zone. It lets you abuse symmetric effects.
Emergent Zone, also known by Saffron Olive as Emergency Zone. Because of course he did. I love the man, but isn't he supposed to be the native English speaker?
Yeah. I guess.
Are we sure he wasn't born in, like, Chechnya or Bosnia or Croatia or somewhere and just recently came to the USA?
Well, that's still a conspiracy theory that needs to be proven.
He's giving us all the ammo we need, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, any other effect you have in mind?
Well, Memory Jar is a symmetric effect, right?
Oh god, no! Memory Jar, also known as the first ever emergency ban in the game of Magic.
So, see? That's the kind of symmetric effect that is fun to abuse, you know? You just find the point where you can abuse it, others can't, and then you get banned.
I mean, you know what was the deck that broke it?
Megrim?
Yes. Basically, you would play one or two Megrims, and then you would Memory Jar, and that would happen around turn 3 or 4. Because guess what? Dark Ritual was not a broken card.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind doing an episode just on Dark Ritual, how stupidly broken its history is. Like, sheesh.
It should be allowed in Modern.
Oh god, no. Storm do if that was the thing?
Just no. Well, it would play another color.
You think? It might even ditch the stupid red or something like that. It wouldn't.
Do you have any fun... let me emphasize, fun symmetric effects that aren't just based on hating people.
But that is fun in my mind. I'm just going through the list and nothing of that category pops to mind.
I mean, hating on people is fun for some people, but it's more fun when you hate on yourself, but you live through the hate.
Niksha, I've been living with depression for like the last 20 some years. I've been hating myself for long enough. No need to do it in Game of Magic as well.
Of course you do. Never enough.
I mean, what I was gonna say, the thing about the symmetrical stacks effects, you can even use them in more casual Game of Magic. Because you don't have to use the best of the best stacks effects, you can just tailor it to your playgroup.
Yeah, like playing the Fat Kami, the blue Fat Kami, the draws
of the Crescent Moon.
Yep, and you know, you just tailor your deck to be more effective when drawing that extra card, or you know, just play Narset.
Or if people are playing really huge beaters and you actually want to play some silly small tokens, Meekstone.
Mm-hmm.
Or what is the name of that rock that says creatures of power 3 or more can't untap? That's Meekstone, or...?
I think it might be. Let's just say it is because it's close enough.
But yeah, you just tell things to your playgroup. If people are playing a lot of non-basic lands but didn't want to go the full Blood Moon route, Natural Order is a card. And it's gonna speed up your games. Especially if you're in mono-green. Then you just laugh and laugh.
So, what... Is there some kind of... Is there any other lesson we can teach people from playing trick effects?
First of all, I mean, the thing we've been saying the whole episode, if people are playing it, don't trust that they're just doing it, you know, because it's a fun card. No, they have a much darker plan.
Never trust people that are fair.
Also, never trust people, we didn't mention this, but, you know, never trust people who play group hug.
they definitely don't. I mean, people learned it the hard way when I was playing Zor. No, not Zor.
Not Zor.
Not Zor, that damn...
Zidr the Goat-Hearted?
Yeah. It's like, playing a Wrath of God on an empty board with just Zedru out, yeah, that's a legit play. Just don't let that live.
I mean, you have been playing bad gifts, Zidr, so...
Not all of them are bad.
I mean, you gave the creature decks the Steel Golem.
Well, yeah, I gave creature decks a creature. Isn't that what they want?
They want to be playing a bit more than one creature, I think.
I think it's... I see it as a fair trade-off. They got a 4-6 for free.
I mean... And then you, cast pacifism on it and just give them the pacifism?
Well, yeah.
Here, I want your creature to be safe and never to attack or block. Because you like creatures, and this way, it's safely cradled. There you go.
Or, you know, Oblivion Ring, and then... You know, I feel bad for taking your creature away. But here, have the thing that keeps your creature away. So it's, you know, it's
Look,
yours.
Whenever you want to destroy it, you can choose to destroy it, and now it's on your side of the field, so you don't have to stretch your arm for so long to actually destroy it.
You can sacrifice it.
There! You need to rebuild Zedru, I think.
No. It's not gonna happen.
Why not?
Because it just won't work.
I mean, you're saying it. Put more Armageddons and stuff like that in the deck.
Make it actually, an ultra-fair Zedru.
It actually does break the parity if you have Zedru out because you've been drawing a bunch of cards.
Yeah. Huh.
Like we've been joking about this, but it legit might be a thing.
And most of the things we did talk about could fit into a...
Yeah.
Into the Jeskai. Huh. Okay. Okay.
Here, have this Trinisphere.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah! Oh my
why
god,
on
we're
earth,
doing
why
this.
Would you not want Trin?
Are we actually doing this? We here, have be. This Cursed Totem.
Well, you actually can't give the Cursed Totem.
I mean, not with that attitude.
Okay, we might want to end before we go in too deep.
I mean, we might have enough content for the next week's episode with this finishing.
Yeah.
But I'm really hyped in conclusion to go to the pre-release tomorrow. Like, holy fuck, I've been waiting for this for a while. And I can't wait to get my hands bloodied with Bloods of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, if you can go full aggro, then go full aggro, because the set seems dirtly. You know, getting a bunch of Planeswalkers and
sealed
then...
seems super dirtly. And I don't actually mind that, because I've been having competitive games at my EDH. I won't mind having some dirtly games at sealed.
Fair enough.
There we go. And is that it for this week's podcast?
That just might be it.
Sweet, this has been episode 90 of the Elder Dragon Drill podcast.
Getting close.
Getting closer to 100. This was your host, Igor, and here, as usual, was my co-host, Nixon.
I was here too.
And as always, guys, the Emperor protects.
As he does.
My brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst to lines break. Tide swans and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the gripping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! My command is standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You know mine when every debt is repaid. Burning past gems sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Declaring a funeral song. One reason not to hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Yadmans I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Lunar wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. This brothers means bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat. Chain of command failures. Miniature lower swords as it tears through your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces place a death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. And for Abaddon's throat, your life's beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have got deeper still, burn my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.